8:32 the time, 28 minutes shy of 9 o'clock. Welcome to a beautiful Thursday morning here in Laguna Beach. It's a Thursday edition of the Mornings with Ed Show. And as we do each and every Thursday, we're fortunate to be able to speak to our mayor. Mayor Bob Whalen steps in for a conversation. Welcome, Mr. Mayor. How are you today?
I'm great, Ed. Thank you. Always good to be here and talk with you about a few things.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you this morning. Thank you. And I wanted to start off by thanking you so very much for the support, for coming out to the Taste, and for taking part in the Mick Jagger strut record attempt. Thank you so much, Mr. Mayor.
It was fun. It was great. Boy, it was quite a turnout. The place was packed, and I think people were really having a great time, and supporting the chamber, and you commanded the stage up there, Ed. Great job.
Thank you, sir. I don't know if command is the word I'd use, but I appreciate that. Thank you. I want to thank not just you, but Sue and all the council members for your generous praise of both the chamber and the radio station during the meeting the other day. And you're right, it did seem like everyone in town was there. It seemed like we were a lot more comfortable being out and together. It was just a great feeling. So yeah, and it was wonderful to have you there. Thank you, sir.
Happy to be there. Look forward to next year.
All right. Yeah, me too. Let's talk about what I find fascinating is the on-demand neighborhood trolley service. We're calling it Laguna Local. We've got vehicles set up. There was a really concise explanation of how this is going to work. How do you see it working?
Well, I hope, I'm really looking forward to it as well, and I hope it works. I hope it works well for everybody, up in the hillside neighborhoods, basically, is what it's serving, right? Primarily. But, we've got it looks like an improved app. I think and they're working to consolidate into a single app, so you'd have a trolley and this on-demand service, but right now you'd have a separate app that you would get, this Transloc, TRANSLOC. They hope to have, it's sort of like an Uber Lyft type situation with these vans. And we're going to monitor it and see how it goes. But I encourage people to use it, try it out, hope it works well. If there are glitches, let us know and we'll, see if we can adapt.
Okay. And the launch date is November 8th. We have four vehicles. We have a larger van and three slightly smaller vans. And it is a shared ride service, of course. Are these vehicles, have we purchased them? Are we leasing them? What's the story behind the vehicles themselves?
Yeah, we have a contract that we entered into with this, private vendor who's furnishing the vehicles. And, it's just part of the service that we're paying for. This is city money. We had originally had, an Orange County Transportation Authority grant, right? Like we have for the trolleys. They grant us money every year for the trolleys, but the demand, the use, the ridership wasn't big enough on the neighborhood trolley, so we lost that grant funding, but we're using some city money to do this. I think it's something worth trying. We're going to monitor it closely, see how it goes. So I would say get out there and ride.
Right. I love the idea. I think it's a great idea. So I'm hoping for its success, especially an average wait time of 15 to 20 minutes. That's about what you get with Uber and Lyft, really. So I'm excited.
About right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
On Tuesday night, we also talked about the White House. The White House has been a staple here in town forever. It's been closed recently and now about to reopen. And there was a discussion about the amount of seating. Where the owner of the property was there representing the person that was about to lease it, but wanted 133 seats. Some of the council members were looking for numbers as low as 90 seats, but they also wanted entertainment on top of that. We ended up at 120 seats. How did that number come around?
Yeah, actually, the applicant was requesting and had been approved. The Planning Commission recommended at 143 seats. There was some discussion that the historic number had been 90 seats in the records, and so he came in and he said, "Look, I'm a historic building. I want to do what a lot of other historic buildings have done in town. I want to get the parking credit." we could grant, you're under the code, you can grant up to 50% credit. He was looking for a 34% credit to get him to 143 seats. You know, the 120 was the number I came up with just as, you know, a compromise measure. They're going to lose some seats anyway because of some transformer they have to put in the back of the restaurant. And, you know, it was sort of a compromise measure. And we shortened up the hours. They had, through planning commission, they had been approved for till 1:30 a.m., as I said that night. And I've said before, you know, my mother always said nothing good happens after midnight. So I've been a proponent since I've been on the planning commission of not, you know, approving things after, to be open after midnight. So they agreed to that. And, but it underscores a bigger issue we have, which is, you know, the parking code grants all these credits to historic buildings for the purpose of incentivizing the owners to renovate them as historic structures, as opposed to, you know, just rebuilding them as new, you know, getting rid of the historic building and trying to rebuild them as new. Right. But these are all phantom parking places. They don't exist, you know. So I think what we recognize, what I recognize, and I think the council recognizes, and you know, we are working on, we need to build more parking, period. And, you know, there's always controversy around, you know, people say, I want more parking, you got to build more parking. Parking is terrible. And then, you know, you propose something, and we've had several agenda items proposing different things, not just at City Hall, but around town. And everybody comes out, you know, as soon as you put something on paper, oh, that won't work. That's terrible. That's a bad idea. Don't put it there. But if you, you know, if you want more parking, we're just going to have to, you know, bite the bullet and put more parking in. They're going to have some smaller structures around town in different places. And I think we just need to work towards that. And we are working towards that. So
perfectly stated. Perfect.
Pull some things out.
Yeah, perfectly stated. So what I gathered from that conversation was really the conversation itself exposed our need to revisit the entire parking code.
Yeah, absolutely. We have to deal with it. We have to, you know, look at this grandfathered parking issue, but we also have to, you know, come up with real parking places, not just, you know, not just phantom places. And,
right,
you know, how much of that do you put on the property owner in a fee or in lieu fee? And how much does this, you know, we pay out of the parking fund? But bottom line is we need to put more parking in certain places around town.
Right. I first of all, about the meeting itself, I'm taking my hat off and I'm clapping because you installed a timer and a bell for public comment, for any comment. What did you think of that? I think on this side of it, we all loved it. I really do. What did you think of it?
Well, you know, I think I thought it worked well. It wasn't my idea. You know, staff came up with the idea and put it in effect, and it seemed to work.
Yeah.
So I think we'll keep going with it, and it gives people a visual. You know, before it was, you know, just a red, green, red, yellow, green light system, which you couldn't really see if you were on Zoom. So we'll see. We'll keep it.
I'm all for it. I think the only change I would make would be that after someone has gone past the 3 minutes and once they're into that red zone, I would want like an ocean liner horn to go off. something that just absolutely just you can't hear anything past the ocean liner. So maybe you'll consider that for the next meeting. You reported on the recent quarterly meeting with the hospital, reiterating that the hospital is going to be providing a presentation soon. What's that presentation going to include? What are you expecting in that presentation?
Well, I think we're going to have a presentation from the hospital, and I know our police department will be a part of it. A lot of our recent discussion is focused on security at the hospital. We are well aware of the fact that, you know, there have been incidents down in South Laguna where people are, you know, escaping from the campus into the neighborhoods. We've had, you know, some problems on the hospital property itself. So they're going to report back on exactly what they've done. Our police department went through and gave them a full-on security analysis and report of their campus with recommendations as to what they could do. I think they're going to come back and report what they have done. The police are going to show us some statistics as to what, you know, has been going on down there at the hospital. And we're just going to lay out sort of the progress they've made and what else has to get done down there to improve the situation. And I think they'll also give us, you know, some general discussion of where, you know, how they're operating down there and what services they're providing to the community and that sort of thing. But, yeah, I think we'll get that, you know, probably either one of our late December or mid-December meeting or maybe the early meeting in January.
Okay. All right. You also reported on your recent meeting with the Orange County Transit Authority. And what did you hear from them as far as seeking funding for Laguna Canyon?
Well, you know, it was a meeting for all of South County, and it was really for OCTA to report, you know, what they their major efforts in South County. And they've got efforts that are outside of Laguna Beach as their primary ones, including, you know, adding final freeway improvements to get the final carpool lane contiguous on 405. They've got some Ortega Highway improvements out there where they've got a pinch point they're working on, and so on. So we were just there, you know, to hear what they are going to do. We have our city manager has met with the executive director and the Caltrans Region 12 director, and they're, you know, interested in helping us. They think that where the money is these days, if you're going to be competitive for grants, you have to look at a high occupancy vehicle lane, something that will reduce greenhouse gases. You have to look at bicycle and pedestrian improvements, which we are looking at. So I'm hopeful we can put together, you know, and we're working on the design now to submit to them, and we can put together a competitive application.
Okay. All right. One of the things that we were all keeping an eye out for, and we were all witness to the press conference that happened out on Main Beach, was the resolution opposing oil and gas drilling in federal and state waters off the coast here. It passed 5-0. And I'm wondering exactly what that means for us. Where do we go from here?
Well, I think what it means is we have to continue to support Senator Dave Minn, who is going to introduce legislation in January in Sacramento to with that goal. And we have to also continue to work with our federal representatives to try to get them at the federal level to support the same kind of legislation. The state can't outlaw, you know, we can't outlaw the federal leases directly. They're federal, offshore, not state waters. But there are some things that can be done. You know, the pipelines come in from the federal waters to the state waters, and but to have the federal support would really be the ultimate answer. So we just have to continue to support those legislative efforts and keep the pressure on. Hopefully, get more cities to support the Senator Minn's concept, but I was encouraged. You know, he's already started to build good, you know, some support in the legislature and with environmental groups. He had another state senator there with him, a third state senator who's key, runs a key committee. Henry Stern out of Malibu is on board. It's just one step at a time.
Okay. All right. And keep us in tune and let us know exactly how we can help with that. I want to ask you a question that I asked Chief Calvert. We had Chief Calvert on the program Tuesday for a great conversation. And I asked him about this, about Ranger, the canine officer that we lost recently. Ranger was battling cancer. And in the last 9 or 10 months of Ranger's life, Ranger was getting cancer treatments. Those treatments were paid for out of a fund for the animal shelter. See, PUP funds the animal shelter, and through donations from citizens who had thought that money was going to be funding specifically animals from the animal shelter, we paid for Ranger's care out of that fund. And even though Ranger is a, or was, a city employee as a canine police officer, we didn't cover that out of police funds. And back in 2019, I believe we used also shelter funds to move animal control officers out of the trailers behind City Hall into the shelter itself, which eventually that money was given back to the shelter. How do you see this playing out? Do you, should we have paid for Rangers care out of police funds, out of city funds?
You know, I honestly was unaware of it until you mentioned it here, Ed. I'll have to look into it. We did restore the funds. It was, you know, on the first one that you mentioned, which was the right thing to do.
Right.
I'll check with the chief and look into this one. And I understand we have a letter from PUP, so I'll have to take a look at that as well. But I know we're getting another canine, which is great. I think the chief said he's going to try to get two, I think. So,
ooh, fantastic.
That will be terrific for the community, but I will take a look at that. I don't know the answer.
Okay. All right. Well, I certainly appreciate you taking a look at it. Thank you always for the honesty there.
Yeah.
Lastly, this is our fun question here. Last year for Takeover, you and your beautiful wife Kirsten came in and you did a magnificent hour of music for us here, and you raised money for the radio station during Takeover, and we learned a lot about you and your musical choices. Do you see yourself coming back for this year's Takeover? It's November 17th through the 23rd.
Oh, I'd love to. Yeah, right. I always enjoy it. It's so much fun, you know, and I think the community really enjoys it, and everybody who puts together an hour. So, yeah, I'll have to start thinking about some music. I think I've done three of them, so this would be the fourth. So, you know, you have to keep pushing your horizons a little bit.
And do you, as you're putting your list together with Kirsten, do you guys fight back and forth about songs, or are you pretty much generally on the same page as musically? Or is she completely different?
Yeah, we're pretty much generally on the same page. She's probably got a little, you know, more contemporary bent than I do, she comes up with some great stuff. So, it'll be fun.
Right. So you never walk into the house and catch her like break dancing to rap music in the kitchen or anything, right?
I haven't yet.
Okay. Mayor Whalen, always a pleasure to speak with you. I know you're busy, so we thank you for taking the time with us. We'll look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thanks, Ed. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. That's Mayor Bob Whalen, 8:51 The Time on The Mornings with Ed Show.